So hi everyone, welcome to the Tao Te Ching. You know, it's funny, Anne, because the teaching you just did was excellent. And, you know, and I thought, oh, I'm going to have to tell her how excellent this is. And like, as soon as I had this thought, you go into this thing about sometimes Regina tells me I'm good, but then, you know, but then what if she doesn't tell me next time? I thought, gosh, should I say anything or not? but it really was excellent. It was a lot of fun for me to listen to you. One of the reasons was because I remember having those realizations that you're having now. I remember teaching Romans 2 with that same enthusiasm and that same deepening. So it was just a lot of fun to watch it happen to you too. So thank you so much for your sharing. And hello, Reggie. All right, so I am going to start, just give us a little bit of a musical break between teachings. So let me share my screen. Whoops, I don't want to update now. Zoom wants me to update. We'll do that later. This is Xavier Rudd, Follow the Sun. I actually meditated while laying in the sun this morning. So when I saw this sun, when I saw this, I thought, oh yeah, this fits the mood I was in. I haven't laid in the sun since, 20 years. I mean, a long time, maybe longer. But this morning I did lay in the sun. I put on my bathing suit and everything, just like I was a teenager again, and that's how I meditated. So this felt right. So here we go. Follow the Sun by Xavier Rudd.
Say
I think it's fun watching those kids do that native dance in that video. I just love it. They're so cute. They're so cute. All right. So today we are here for Tao Te Ching, verse or chapter 23 to 22 last time. So I will start, as I always do, by reading it, and then we'll see where we go from there. So I'm starting with Derek Lynn. Sparse speech is natural. Thus, strong wind does not last all morning. Sudden rain does not last all day. What makes this so? Heaven and earth. Even heaven and earth cannot make it last. How can humans? Thus, those who follow the Tao are with the Tao. Those who follow virtue are with virtue. Those who follow loss are with loss. Those who are with the Tao is also pleased to have them. Those who are with virtue, virtue is also pleased to have them. Those who are with loss is also pleased to have them. Those who do not trust sufficiently, others have no trust in them. I'm going to go on and read these other two, but a story came to me to tell you, so I'm going to tell you that story first. When I read the line that says, thus those who follow the Tao are with the Tao. Let me just tell you briefly what this means in case you don't understand. The Tao is supreme. Virtue, which is, trying to be good, living according to virtuous values, being a good person, is secondary. And then, of course, believing in lack and loss and victimhood and all of that stuff is the lowest, right? So thus, those who follow the Tao are with the Tao. Those who follow virtue are with virtue. Those who follow loss are with loss, right? And I think it's also interesting that it says those who are with the Tao is pleased to have them. But also those who are with virtue, virtue is also pleased to have them. And those who are with loss, loss is also pleased to have them. So you're welcomed wherever you choose to hang out. But when I read this line, thus those who follow the Tao are with the Tao, a memory came in from last night. Yesterday I went to La Vida just for the day. Primarily because my mom, some of you may know, was buying a house in La Vida. And yesterday was the inspection, and she wanted me there for the inspection. And actually, the inspection didn't begin until 6:15 in the evening. So it was dark when I was driving home. And just as I was arriving in Pueblo West, so I was on Highway 50, for those of you who know the area, I hadn't yet reached civilization. I was heading towards Safeway from Pueblo Boulevard, so it was still in that area where it's pretty open. My mom called because I had left. I had left the inspection just a little bit early because it was getting late, and she was like, "You can go on. I'll take it from here." So I left her there, and I left. And so she called to tell me something that the inspector found. And I have a, you know, my phone hooks up to my car, so I have hands on. I can just, you know, hit the steering wheel and answer and keep right on driving. So I'm driving along listening to Mom as she's describing to me what the inspector found on this area of Highway 50. And all of a sudden, there was a deer right in front of me. And there's really two different stories, but only one that applies to this particular reading. I swerved to miss the deer, but, you know, I was going down the highway at like 65 miles per hour. So then, you know, how it is, the car goes a little too far, so you have to correct. And you're kind of doing this fishtail thing over the road until you get the car going straight again. And, of course, my mom heard that. She's on the phone with me, you know how moms are. She goes, "It sounds like you almost had a wreck." I said, "I did." I said, "You know, there was a deer right in front of me." And I said, "But it's okay. The deer's all right. I'm all right. Now, what were you saying?" And I think she was surprised at how quickly I was over that and back to her again. And she said, "But you almost had a wreck." And I said, "Yeah, I know, but that's in the past. Now, what were you saying?" And she went on and told me, and that was the end of that conversation. So when this says those who follow the Tao are with the Tao, what hit me was the staying completely in the moment. Right? I mean, it was over. It might not have been over if I'd had an accident. I mean, it wouldn't have been over if I'd had an accident. There would have been, you know, it would have been still happening. And something else would have needed to happen, you know, call 911 or whatever, you know. But it was over very quickly. I mean, this incident lasted, I don't know, I mean, I didn't stopwatch, but we'll say 5 to 8 seconds. And then it was over. And when it was over, my attention went immediately back to my mom. And once she was also convinced that it was over, she just went on and we never said another word about it. In fact, I don't think I would have even thought to tell you guys that story if I hadn't read this line and suddenly been hit with that memory of how quickly that event was over. And I guess the reason that I'm feeling to tell you that story is because for a lot of people, it wouldn't have been over. For a lot of people, the topic of the telephone call would have now switched to, "Oh my God, this is blah, 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 blah," you know, right? It would have turned immediately into a story. And so I think that's what this is trying to tell us. I mean, listen, we'll look at some other translations because sometimes Derek is the harder to read. But notice he says, sparse speech is natural. What is sparse speech? Wouldn't that be the opposite of storytelling? Wouldn't that mean that turning this into a big story that I have to tell my mom and then when I get home, I got to call Ron, and I didn't, call Ron, tell Ron, call Jasmine, tell Jasmine, you know, call Jacqueline, tell Jacqueline, call Jay, tell Jay, call Shauna, tell Shauna, you know, wouldn't that be the opposite of sparse speech? And if sparse speech is natural, wouldn't that mean that all of that storytelling over and over and over again about what just happened to me is unnatural? And wow, that's quite a statement. That's unnatural. And yet how often do we do that with situations like that? I mean, it's funny because I really didn't give it another thought, but now that I think about it, now that it's been brought back to my face, it was kind of an intense moment, you know? It doesn't happen to me every day. I'd be happy if it never happens again. but it was over so quickly. You know, there wasn't anything lingering. There wasn't an accident. There was no residue to deal with, and so it was over. In fact, if I'm dealing with any residue, it's what my mother told me on the phone about what the inspector found. That requires more work, right? That's where my attention had to go. So, sparse speech is natural. Now, those of you in La Vida and Pueblo will appreciate this next line. Thus, strong wind does not last all morning. You know, wind comes, and goes. When it's over, it's over. Right? Sudden rain does not last all day. It comes and it goes. And when it's over, it's over. And then he says, what makes this so? Heaven and earth. Not real sure what he means by that. We'll look at some other interpretations, other translations, and see what they say. What makes this so? Heaven and earth. Even heaven and earth cannot make it last. How can humans? How can humans? You know, and that's really, think about it. When we tell a story over and over again, like if I had, you know, I probably wouldn't have called all those people. I would have maybe called Ron, maybe called Jasmine. But if I wanted to tell the story, I would have texted Jacqueline and Shauna and Jay and Cheryl, right? If I had done all of that, isn't there something in me that's actually trying to keep that moment going? And why would I want to keep that moment going? I mean, let's just think. I don't have an immediate answer for that. It's excitement. I have an immediate answer for that. It's drama. And the ego loves drama. I just didn't know I had an immediate answer. That's what it is. It's excitement. It's drama. The ego loves drama. And I got to tell all of my friends who are in some way related, these other people who travel back and forth between Pueblo and La Vida, I got to tell them so I can keep the excitement of that drama alive in me a little longer. So I'll just read this translation again, then we'll go to another translation. Sparse speech is natural. Thus, strong wind does not last all morning. Sudden rain does not last all day. What makes this so? Heaven and earth. Even heaven and earth cannot make it last. How can humans? How can your storytelling make it last? Thus, those who follow the Tao are with the Tao. Those who follow virtue are with virtue. Those who follow loss are with loss. Those who are with the Tao is pleased to have them. Those who are with virtue, virtue is also pleased to have them. Those who are with loss, loss is also pleased to have them. Those who do not trust sufficiently, others have no trust in them. That's kind of a funny line stuck in there with this translation, but we'll see if it makes a little more sense. I mean, the line by itself makes sense, but it's just kind of funny stuck in with the rest of those lines. So we'll see what happens with the other translations. Let's go to the 23rd verse with Wayne Dyer. To talk little is natural. Fierce winds do not blow all morning. A downpour of rain does not last all day. Who does this? Heaven and earth. I still don't have clarity on that line. I don't have clarity on that line, so we'll just go on. But these are exaggerated, forced effects. And that is why they cannot be sustained. Okay, now I get it. If heaven and earth cannot sustain a forced action, how much less is man able to do? So what they're saying here is, who makes the fierce winds blow? Who makes the downpour of rain? Well, heaven and earth does. But not even heaven and earth can make the fierce winds blow eternally. They can't make the downpour last eternally. Why? It says because these are exaggerated, forced efforts. They're not natural. So going back to the storytelling, drama is not natural. You know, I could tell the story of the deer in that excited drama way. I could have, you know, called Ron and Jasmine and texted Jacqueline and Shauna and Jay and Cheryl. And, you know, I could have kept that going for a little bit, right? I could have kept that excitement going a little bit, but I can't make it last forever. Why can't I make that dramatic excitement last? Because it's an exaggerated, forced effect. It's not natural. And if heaven and earth cannot sustain a forced action, how much less is man able to do? So again, the question comes up, why do we try to tell these stories? I mean, I know you guys have met people like this. I have met people. You don't have to be with them long at all. And they're telling you, and I'm not saying these stories aren't, well, they're dramatic. They are dramatic. You know, you'll be with someone who's telling you about how they were raped when they were 7 years old, and they're standing there in front of you at age 63. And this didn't come up naturally in conversation. This is something that this is one of the first stories they tell you as soon as they get to know you. Right? They don't know it, but they're keeping something alive, that sense of victimhood. They're literally clinging to it because it's a part of their identity. It's a forced action, keeping my sense of victimhood alive. You know, I know people who have been divorced for years and years and years and years. One person in particular. I'll tell you what, you don't have to be with her long at all till she starts telling you how awful her ex-husband was to her. They've been divorced for years. Their lives have nothing to do with each other anymore. Why is that something that comes up so quickly in conversation with her? You know, she's keeping that, it feels like in her case, hatred alive. Another forced action. So we can, you know, we can try to keep drama alive. We can tell those stories clearly for 60 years, 70 years. But at some point, if we don't let go of the story, we're going to die, and that's when the story's going to die anyway. Right? Because nobody else is going to keep it alive for us. And I guess the question is, why the heck do we want to do that? Why do we want to keep stories alive? Why don't we just stay with the Tao? Let the moment be what the moment is, and then when it isn't anymore, go right on to the next moment. That's what we really need to look at. You know, why? I mean, just contemplate a moment, because I know we've all done it, you know. Contemplate a moment when, you know, something happened to you, kind of like with me and the deer last night. Only you took that story, and you told it, and you told it, and you told it until, you know, until you kind of wore it out. Why did you do that? And feel free to unmic yourself and share. Let's look at what in us wants to keep drama alive.
I would like to share.
Yes, go ahead.
I feel like for instance, the examples you were using, it keeps the I am bad belief or what other beliefs might even be hidden below that belief alive. It makes it seem as if that original, like, for instance, I'm not good enough, or I'm unworthy, or I'm not lovable. All those telling the stories, they fuel the first original core belief, whatever, how that shows up for you. It fuels it in such a way, it helps you to be so deluded that you keep thinking the problem's out there instead of dealing with the original lie, whatever that is for you. You know, personally, I've been doing the work on the belief I'm not worthy. And so for me, that feels like the belief that was hidden underneath the I am bad. So say I didn't even realize that, I didn't even know this was happening. I didn't even know that I was believing this, and this is one of the first lies I ever told myself and believed it. So what ends up happening is all these stories that I tell, it's like the, and I got little quotes for people who are listening to the audio later, it's like the proof, oh, that original lie must be true, but that it isn't. So the more people I can tell this truth to, my lie becomes like a virus, and that more and more and more and more and more and more, and that's what's happened. That's what we're dealing with now, is more people are believing some form of this virus, this some form of the I am bad belief. And the more people believe it, now they're going to reflect that back to me, and it's just an endless, vicious cycle perpetuating. And then even when someone tells us, you're good, you're awesome, like if I were to say to someone, no, but you are good enough, just as you are, and you have that belief inside you and you haven't looked at it and it's not checked and it's not questioned and it's in there, and especially if it's the first lie you ever told yourself and didn't realize you did it, it's like you can't even believe it. You can't even believe someone or own that truth that you are good enough. So we tell these stories to perpetuate the lie.
Thank you. Yeah, and that, I think that's really true with things like the victim story, with things like the, you know, talking about the ex-husband years after he's out of your life. What about just drama, you know? You know, because if I told the story about me and the deer over and over again, I'm not telling that because I believe I'm bad. That's different. It has a different core. So what's the core of that? Why am I telling the story?
To reinforce the person, the personality. I am here, you know, I am here. This happened to me.
Yes, I agree.
It's about me.
Yeah, I agree totally. And I would have called that specialness, because that's exactly what it is. It's, you know, I felt a little special. To me, this is sick. I felt a little special, almost dying, you know, even though I didn't even almost die. But, you know, the mind quickly exaggerates it, right? I feel a little special, almost dying, and I want to keep that specialness alive, even though I didn't almost die. You know, nothing happened. So the mind takes these things. And again, notice the words that's being used here in Wayne Dyer, exaggerated forced effect. So whether it's a story similar to the one Don talked about, you know, which is one that's keeping that I am bad or that I am unworthy belief alive or that I am victim belief alive, that is an exaggerated forced effect. Or if it's keeping that I am special, that I am here alive, that is an exaggerated forced effect. Cheryl, I think I saw your hand.
Cheryl, I'm not hearing you, hon.
Okay, so we'll go on for now, and then Cheryl, if you find that you can get your sound going. George, go ahead.
You know, we have a lot of deer in Tennessee here. We have a lot of deer here. As a matter of fact, yesterday, as I was driving out of the subdivision, there was a deer that almost ran in front of me. And of course, you know, I've had many encounters with deers here. And I didn't think I would have not even remembered it had you not been talking about
right.
deer.
Right. Yeah, well, that's the same thing. I don't think I would have even remembered to tell. I mean, I wouldn't have remembered it either if that line hadn't struck me and that moment came in. By the way, I told you that there were kind of two stories. I'll just very briefly tell you the other story because I might not remember again. It might come back when I'm teaching Bernadette Roberts, however. But those of you who are listening to my Bernadette Roberts teaching, you know how she talks about how animals do not have consciousness. When my headlights hit that deer, I saw that clearly. And in fact, that's the only thing that hit me from that story. If I hadn't just read the Tao, and for some reason, you know, it came up. It would have came up in that I could tell clearly that deer had no consciousness. I saw it as clear as day. In fact, that's what I thought the moment happened for, was to add to that contemplation. That's what I would have defined what, you know, what is it for? I would have said so that I could see that. I know exactly what she's talking about now. So that's a little aside though. Maybe that will come back up when I teach Bernadette again. But that's what I got out of the moment. That's what it was to me. Yes, Cheryl.
Okay, I had my Bluetooth speaker on. I was listening from the deck. So I hope you can hear me now. Yes? Okay. So as I was contemplating, because you asked us to contemplate what in us keeps the story alive. I remember when my daughter Sarah was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. I ran with that. And then when I actually became, I felt like I was really healing from that, and yet I'm still healing from that, but it's a different level today. It's about healing this idea in my mind that I need to feel special, or I need to, you know, have attention, casting attention, even from people outside of me, let alone in my own mind. And just to give you an example as well, yesterday I got a call from my daughter, Sarah, and she bought a home. And that's it. She bought a home. I didn't get into a story. I haven't called anybody. And I'm grateful for that. Truly grateful that I'm just not getting into stories the way I used to. So thanks for this topic. It's really a great topic.
Well, let's thank the Tao, because I'm just reading. So let's go ahead and finish reading Dr. Wayne Dyer. To talk little is natural. Let's not forget that first line, right? That means that when we're telling these stories, it's unnatural. Oh, my goodness. To talk little is natural. Fierce winds do not blow all morning. A downpour of rain does not last the day. Who does this? Heaven and earth. But these are exaggerated, forced effects. And that is why they cannot be sustained. If heaven and earth cannot sustain a forced action, how much less is man able to do? Those who follow the way become one with the way. Those who follow goodness become one with goodness. Those who stray from the way and goodness become one with failure. If you conform to the way, its power flows through you. Your actions become those of nature, your ways those of heaven. Open yourself to the Tao and trust your natural responses, and everything will fall into place. It's so funny how people translate these things very, very differently. Because remember I said this last line, although it was a great line in the Derek Lynn version, it didn't seem to fit. It's like, you know, what's this line doing with the rest of these lines? It said, those who do not trust sufficiently, others have no trust in them. And that's true. I mean, you know, if I don't trust you and you can tell I don't trust you, if I'm always micromanaging whatever you're doing, you know, you're not going to trust me either. And we've talked about that before. That's shown up in the Tao already. But why that sentence was in this verse, I couldn't figure out. It makes a lot more sense to me here. Open yourself to the Tao and trust your natural responses. Then everything will fall into place. Now, a natural response would be different than an unnatural response. Do you agree? Right? So a natural response, for example, is to have the event, notice everything's okay, and turn the attention back to the phone call. See, that's a natural response. It says, trust your natural responses, and everything will fall into place. That means if you're trusting your natural responses, if you're just being in the moment, you're in line with the Tao, and everything's going to fall into place because the Tao is naturally harmonious. But you step out of the Tao. Yeah, I'll let Jay speak after I finish what I'm saying. You step out of the Tao when you step into unnatural activity, like keeping the story alive, right? Okay, Jake, go ahead.
Would you say that what you're describing is like what Cheryl at one point described as no add-ons? Would it be a similar practice? Yes. Okay.
Yes, that would be a great way of wording it, no add-ons. Yeah, and like I said, if I had hit the deer, you know, there would have been a natural residue of that moment. You know, I mean, I've never hit, well, I have hit a deer before, but I won't go into that story. But let's say I hit the deer and now his body is laying by the road. My car's smashed up. Maybe even I'm injured. You know, then there's stuff that has to be done, right? And I think this is also what it's saying. Trust your natural responses. I don't know what I would have done. I can only make up a story because that didn't happen. But, you know, I don't know what I would have done. I probably, I have no idea. I might have called Ron and said, what do? I just hit a deer. Who am I supposed to call? I don't know. You don't dial 911 for hitting a deer. I'm not sure what to do, but you do something. So I would have had to figure that out. You know, whatever my natural response was, maybe call Ron. What do? I just hit a deer. You know, trust your natural responses. You know, how you're dealing with the situation, trust that. But know the difference between natural responses and unnatural responses, like then calling everybody you know to tell them your story. You know, if you trust your natural responses, it says everything will be okay. So what does your body do in the moment? What does your mind say in the moment? And again, the interesting thing is if I go back, and it's a little bit hard to go back to that moment because I didn't hold on to it. But if I go back to that moment when I saw the deer, I mean, it was just there. It didn't even seem like it was moving. It was just suddenly there. Like it appeared out of nowhere. Boom, there's, of course, it's dark and, you know, headlights only go so far, right? So it probably was just, and when you're going 65 miles an hour, it probably was just suddenly there. And it was just standing in the road. It wasn't even moving. The first thing I remember is looking in its eyes and seeing no consciousness. I don't even remember swerving around it. The next thing I noticed was the car was in the fishtail and I noticed that I was not overcorrecting. Like it was happening naturally. Like I wasn't even thinking. That's the second thing I noticed. And then I noticed it was over. So in that 5 to 8 seconds, there were three, you know, I don't even know if they were thoughts. There were three noticings. The notice of the deer's eyes, and clearly there was no consciousness there. The notice of the fishtailing car and the notice of the hands on the steering wheel correcting it just fine. And then the noticing that it was over. Those things were very natural. There was no, you could say there was no me in it. Obviously there was something there noticing, but I wasn't trying to be in control. I wasn't having thoughts. And many of you have probably been in these situations. Thoughts kind of stop sometimes when you're in these situations, right? They just vanish. There's no room for them. And everything becomes very natural. And so what's kind of cool about that too is, you know, we think that we need thinking to respond to situations in our daily life when clearly emergency situations show you don't. Because you handle yourself just fine without any thought whatsoever. You know, you could argue, and it would be my experience, that I did not control the car, the hands did. And I saw that the hands were doing a good job. I could tell they knew what they were doing, but it wasn't like I was doing it. That was not the experience. The hands were doing it, and I could see they were not overcorrecting. They were doing fine. So natural really doesn't even have the thinking mind stories in it. We're not only talking about, you know, calling all your friends and telling the stories, but in the natural moment, there's no story here either. I'm not even telling myself a story. I'm being in the moment, observing the moment, and the moment seems to be taking care of itself. Let me just tell you another story now to illustrate this point. Many years ago, I did something stupid. I would never encourage anybody to do this. But I had just bought a house. Funny how all these stories have to do with buying houses. Maybe I should quit buying houses. I had just bought a house, and Ron was painting it for me and fixing it up for me. And, you know, it was still empty at this point. And so there was no food in the house. It was lunchtime. We were hungry. And there was a snowstorm outside. This was in Massachusetts, but I went out in the snowstorm to get us some lunch. And on the way back, I was turning a corner. And as I turned the corner, it was very slippery. And I just kind of slid over a little bit and bumped the curve, like not a big deal at all. Except I turn and look, and there's a snowplow coming right at me in the exact same skid I was in. He's like repeating my pattern. And it's clear that the snowplow is going, the plow itself is going to hit my car. There was no thought whatsoever. The body just laid down in the car. You know, the head went towards the passenger seat. The snowplow came in my window and was over my head, and I was laying down in the car. I didn't do that. I didn't think, oh my gosh, I better lay down. There's a snowplow coming. You know what I mean? Like, it was noticing the plow, understanding what was occurring, and the body laid down. Right? There was no thought. It was very natural. So there's no story even in the mind when we're completely natural. Not only are we not telling stories and keeping stories alive that way, but we aren't even making them up. There was something that happened the other day that I can't remember. I wish I could. I can't remember. And if it comes back, I'll tell you. But something that happened, you know, some event. And I saw the mind trying to turn it into more. I saw the mind trying to make up a story. And it was just talking to me. I wasn't telling Jay or Jacqueline or anybody. It was just me. It wanted to turn that into something. And I saw that and I let it go, obviously, pretty well, because I can't remember what it was. I just kind of remember the nature of watching the mind try and turn that event into something. It wanted to make a story out of it. That's unnatural. It's even unnatural for us to make up stories for ourselves to believe about the event, even if we never share it with anyone else. What's natural is being, responding, and moving on when time moves on. Right? Being, responding, letting it go, because it's not here anymore. So that's what I think this last line means. Open yourself to the Tao and trust your natural responses, then everything will fall into place. So stay away from the unnatural, the storytelling, and go with the natural. Just what's happening in the moment. Let's have a peek at Stephen Mitchell. Express yourself completely, then keep quiet. Now remember, the others started off with something like sparse speech is natural, right? Not speaking too much is natural. But we all know that Stephen Mitchell always takes a little extra creative license with his translation. He says, express yourself completely, then keep quiet. So the words that are coming to me sound Christian. I don't know why these words are coming. But, you know, speak what's on your heart and then drop it is the way that I would interpret that. Right? Whatever's there that needs to be said, say it and then drop it. I also know people that not only tell stories, but they say the same thing over and over and over again, right? You know, maybe it does need to be said, but then once it's said, maybe it can be dropped. You know, like you see couples who get in fights, and like, I don't know, let's say the man always throws his wet towel in the middle of the bathroom floor. You know, they'll be in a fight about money. And she'll say, and another thing, you're still throwing your bathroom towels in the middle of the floor, right? You know? Well, that has been expressed. You know, apparently she told her husband once before. He still throws them in the middle of the bathroom floor. What do? We drop it. Okay, well, this is just a part of that personality, apparently. I can pick up his towel. And I can pick up his towel with absolutely no frustration, in fact. I mean, think about it. How much trouble is it to bend over, pick up his towel, and hang it up? You know, if I've expressed it, it's been expressed. And you know what? Personalities, I mean, all personalities have quirks. If you guys have ever listened to my teaching, you've heard me say this. And to try and get a personality quirk to change that isn't changing is like beating your head against a wall. So sure, maybe you bring it up, but then when you notice that there's no change, you drop it. You don't need to spend the next 20 years nagging the guy about his towel in the middle of the floor. Or vice versa, guys. Right? Express yourself completely, then keep quiet. In fact, Byron Katie talks about in A Thousand Names for Joy. I think she might be talking about Stephen Mitchell, which is funny because he actually wrote A Thousand Names for Joy. She talks about how she had like a little piece of cake or something in the refrigerator that she was saving for herself, and he ate it. And so she told him, don't eat my cakes anymore. See, she expressed herself completely, you know, don't eat my cakes anymore. I thought that was funny because everything else in the book is about how allowing she is, but just don't eat her little cakes. You know, express yourself completely, then keep quiet. Be like the forces of nature. When it blows, there is only wind. When it rains, there is only rain. When the clouds pass, the sun shines through. You know, so there may be a moment like last night, you know, when I hit that deer. I didn't scream, but I think I went, whoa, 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 or something like that. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That was a natural expression in the moment. Right? To say, whoa, 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 when there's a deer and the car is swerving. I mean, that's a completely natural expression. So let it be and then move on. You know, there may be times when these natural expressions come out of you that later the ego will judge, well, that wasn't very spiritual. Whoa, 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 you weren't at peace, you know. But actually I wasn't at anything. That's the whole thing about it. And if you think about these emergency situations, to claim that you were at peace or that you were in fear or anything is all an afterthought. In those moments, you aren't at anything. It's just happening is the most honest expression. So just like, you know, the swerving around the deer happened and then the correcting happened, the whoa, whoa, whoa happened. I cannot honestly say I was feeling anything in the moment. Right? It was just happening, going on. So be like the forces of nature. When it blows, there is only wind. When it rains, there is only rain. When the clouds pass, the sun shines through. Then come right back. You know, which I did. I came right back to the telephone conversation, which by the way, I just got a phone call about. See, it has residue. It's going to take some time to work on too. If you open yourself to the Tao, you are at one with the Tao and you can embody it completely. If you open yourself to insight, you know, everybody else talked about goodness or virtue. He says insight. If you open yourself to insight, you are at one with insight and you can use it completely. Now, I don't know what Stephen Mitchell thinks, but I'll tell you for me, the difference between insight and the Tao. The Tao is very immediate. Like the way that I experienced the deer situation was very immediate. Insight, to me, is more of a hindsight kind of thing. For example, let's say that I was in the car with someone else, and this happened, and I probably would still be very immediate. You know, my immediate reaction would be very immediate. But once it quit happening, the mind thought about it and said, "Oh, you should have been paying more attention. You weren't even looking at the road, right?" I get upset at the person. Okay. Then I notice how upset I am. I go home and I journal and I get insight as to why I was upset. You see, it's more after the moment, right? In the moment, there's just the happening. But if the mind gets, when the mind gets involved, it creates the story. Oh, you should have been looking at the road. And then the insight comes when I go and I look at that story with inner wisdom. That's what that means to me. So it's still, I'm going to call it a good move. But you can tell, if you'll pardon the language, it's a little less than being in the Tao, right? Because you let the mind get involved. So if you open yourself to the Tao, you are at one with the Tao and you can embody it completely. If you open yourself to insight, you are at one with insight and you can use it completely, right? This kind of reminds me of Anne's teaching just before. She was talking about how the ego got her when it said, you're not even going to be relaxed during this meditation. And, you know, she did a whole teaching on that. But then at the end, she says, you know, next time the mind says, you're not even going to be relaxed, you know, maybe I'll be able to laugh at it a little sooner. Well, that would be using the insight. You see, she got sucked in the mind, but then she looked at it. She had insight, and going forward, she's going to be able to use the insight. So it's not the same as the Tao, being in the Tao, because in the Tao, she never would have got sucked into the mind. She did get sucked in, but now she's using the insight. So if you open yourself to insight, you are at one with insight and you can use it completely. If you open yourself to loss, you are at one with loss and you can accept it completely. Now again, completely different translation here. He seems to be describing the experience of what I would call rest, accept, and trust. So if you go all the way into the mind, and you have this huge emotional reaction, maybe fear of ever getting in a car again or driving at night again, or in Anne's case, you know, terrible, a sense of unworthiness for, you know, buying into a thought while meditating, right? And you go really deep into it. Then what you do is you practice rest, accept, and trust. The bigger the emotion, the more you just lean on acceptance. When you go really deep into darkness, it's hard to even reach insight at that point, right? So you move into acceptance, allowing, just being without believing, rest, accept, and trust. So it's almost as if he's describing three different levels, all of which are good, but yet you could say one is higher, right? So the highest level is just to be in the moment, it's over, moving on, and that's natural for you. The second one is, ooh, you got a little caught up. You go check for inner wisdom, and then you apply that insight. And then the third one was you got really caught up, and you practice rest, accept, and trust. And I can tell you that, especially during my purification period, without ever having read this in the Tao, this is exactly the rules I followed. You know, like sometimes people would say to me, you know, did you practice root cause inquiry every time you had an ego thought? No. If I could just let go of the ego thought, that's what I did. You know, if I saw it, realized it was ego and let it go, then it's done. But if I believed it somewhat, I had to practice root cause inquiry sometimes to see why I believed it so deeply. And if I went way down, and I did sometimes go way down, I would simply practice rest, accept, and trust. Because like I said, you can't even, you know, when the fear was big, I couldn't even communicate with what I called Holy Spirit. In fact, often you'll hear me tell a story about, oh, and this happened, and, you know, all day long, all I did was rest, accept, and trust. Then the next day, I asked Holy Spirit and I received this clarity, right? Because it wasn't until the next day that enough of the emotion passed that I could go and look at it. So if you're trying to do root cause inquiry or you're trying to hear Holy Spirit when you're deep in the emotion, you might just increase your sense of failure. You know, it's better just to rest, accept, and trust and wait until you're a little lighter before you go back and look at it and get that insight. He says, open yourself to the Tao, then trust your natural responses and everything will fall into place, which is exactly how Wayne Dyer ended it. So I'm going to go, and Jacqueline, I'll have to return this phone call, but then I'll be right back to listen to you. But I do have to respond to that. Bye, everybody.